There it goes. All right, the recorder is on. And we are ready for, is it NTI Acts chapter 24? Or did we do that already? Okay, because I was, looks like I was messing around. So we're ready for 25? All right, so for me, that's on page 256. How about you guys? 256? All right, here we go. You do not know how to see, and so you are afraid of what you look at, when there is nothing there to fear. Let me show you how to see, so you will not be afraid, and you will walk willingly along this path with me. Oh, I love this part. The world is not real. It is like a play, with actors playing their roles. Only in the play of the world, the script has been forgotten, so that the play seems very real. This play has many endings, like slits cut in the script, where one can choose to step out of the play. But if one believes the play and is focused on playing his role, he will miss his opportunities to step out. As you read this story of Paul, and I'll tell you the story in a moment, see it as a script, just as your life is a script. Imagine yourself in the role of Paul. See what is playing out and imagine yourself in that play. So in a moment, I'll tell you guys the story that was happening in the Bible. But when I tell you the story, I want you to do what Holy Spirit is asking us to do. Imagine that you're Paul. Don't just listen to the story. Imagine if you were him and you were in that situation, what might you be thinking? What might you be feeling, right? As you play the role of Paul, you have many choices in how to play. You can become Paul completely and forget there is a script. You can see the Jews as your enemies and struggle against them in your mind. But if you choose this, you lose the awareness that it is a script, and you will forget to watch for the light that signals the way to step out. Or, as you play the role of Paul, you have another choice as to how to play. You can look at the Romans and the Jews and remember that they are all a part of you playing a role in a script. This may seem to have, they may seem to have forgotten that they play only roles, but you can observe them and remember for them so that you have the perspective of the script. So, let me tell you the story of what's happening to Paul. And again, go ahead and just imagine yourself in this role. Paul, just, I'll tell you a little bit of background for those of you who don't know the Bible really well. Paul was an apostle. He was not one of the original 12 apostles. In fact, he was never one of the 12 apostles. He was actually a persecutor of the Christians. He used to arrest them, kill them, you know, all of those wonderful things. And he was on the road to Damascus to go to Damascus, which was a very large city, and find Christians and persecute them when Jesus came to him in a vision and asked him, you know, why do you persecute me? And somehow in that vision, Paul was struck blind. Paul was then, you know, taken to a nearby town where for 3 days he was blind. And for 3 days, he couldn't see or anything, so he was like in inner contemplation of this vision that he'd had when Jesus said, why do you persecute me? Then Jesus sent one of his followers to heal Paul of his blindness. And when Paul was healed of his blindness, he had changed in that 3 days of darkness and contemplation, and now he was a Christian. And in fact, he became a very zealous Christian and may single-handedly be responsible for the whole Christian movement, because he just went everywhere teaching. But one reason he went everywhere teaching is apparently he had some kind of a very straightforward, very loud personality, where as he was preaching, he was always pissing people off. So basically what happened is everywhere he went, he got beat up and ran out of town. So he'd go to the next town, he's beat up and ran out of town. And this has happened over and over, and Christianity spread like wildfire. So what finally happened is he wanted to return to Jerusalem. And he now had a very bad reputation as someone who had gone against the Jewish law. He had been converting non-Jews to Christianity, which at that time was still considered a Jewish sect, right? He had converted non-Jews to Christianity. He had told them they didn't have to follow all the laws of Judaism, like if they were adult men, they didn't have to become circumcised. That was a big one. That was against the law. And so when he returned to Jerusalem, he was warned that what he should really do is go into the temple, cleanse himself in a traditional way and purify himself and show that he did care about Jewish law, which he did, but unfortunately he broke a Jewish law in the process. He took a Gentile with him into the temple, which was not allowed. So a ruckus started. And when this ruckus started, the Roman guards who wanted to keep peace in the temple arrested him. Now what was really interesting about Paul is that he actually had a claim to be a Jew, a legal claim to be a Jew, because his mother was Jewish. And if you're Jewish, your Jewishism, your Judaism, whatever it's called, is passed down through the mother. But his father was Roman. And if you're Roman, that Romanism is passed down through the father. So he actually could claim whichever was most convenient at the time. He could say, I'm a Jew, I'm one of you. I'm a Roman, I'm one of you. So what happened when he was arrested by the Romans is he, of course, set up that I'm a Roman. You know, you can't treat me like a Jew because I'm a Roman, and there's laws about how you have to treat a Roman citizen. A Roman citizen gets a trial, which was true. But the Jews really hated Paul for all of the laws he had broken and for bringing a Gentile into the temple. And they didn't want to even have him be fairly treated by the Romans. They hated him too much. So what they did was they created a plan that when he was being transferred from one location to another location, they would somehow intercept him, you know, while he was being transferred and kill him. This was the plan. So what's happening now is he's standing in front of a Roman, governor of some type. And, you know, the Roman governor is trying to decide what to do with him. You know, he's on trial. What do I do with this guy? Did he break a law? And at the same time, the Jews are there. And Paul knows that the Jews really want him transferred to another location so that they can kidnap him and murder him. And he knows this. And so they're there arguing that he should be transferred to another area for trial. The Roman guy is trying to decide what he's going to do with him. It is possible that even under Roman law, he could possibly be put to death, right? So he's facing this whole thing. You know, everybody here maybe wants to kill him. He's in prison, right? And so what this is saying, this seems like serious business. If you put yourself in the role of Paul, this is serious business. You need to convince somebody that you're innocent, right? But what this is saying is if you take this as serious business, even though your life is on the line, you're totally forgetting who you are. Right? And so what this is saying is you need to learn to see the whole thing as just a script. And what's the purpose of the script? To help you remember who you are. See those Jews over there that are arguing that you should be transferred because they really want to kidnap you and kill you? They're actually helping you wake up. That's why they're here. They are here so that you can be looking at all of your fear thoughts, all of your false personality thoughts, and remembering who you are as you look at them. See these Romans over here who really aren't sure what they should do with you? They're also here to help you wake up. The only thing that can ever happen is that everybody is here to help you wake up, even if they don't know it. Even if they think they want to kill you, right? They think they want to try you. You know, they're really only here to help you wake up. And what this is saying is that if you remember that, no matter how serious it gets, guess what's going to happen? You're going to wake up. That's what's going to happen. But if you forget and you start fighting for your life and you start trying to convince everybody to save your life, you're not going to wake up. These are your choices. You either see everything as a play with one purpose and you remember that, and you use that, or you forget and you stay sleeping. These are your two choices. And no matter how serious it appears to get, that's still your only two choices. Right? It's not only true in the lesser degree, but when it gets really serious, suddenly this is real. It's just as true when it's real, when it seems real, right? When the rubber hits the road, this is still your only two choices.
Is that what it meant by stepping out?
Yeah. Yeah, when you step out of the script, that's when you wake up. Yeah, you step out completely when you wake up. So continuing with verses 13 to 22. When you remember the script, the drama is removed and replaced with a feeling of love. Or another feeling you might experience is actually gratitude. Some people may experience gratitude more than love. For then you see that each player in the script has only one purpose for you. Each one is playing his role so that the script may unfold and lead you to your place to step out. Each one is your brother and your savior, engaged fully in helping you to find your slit of release. As the script plays out, you may realize your joy and realize your gratitude for your brothers, for everything is working just as it is set to work to bring you to the place of release. And I've mentioned to you guys before that, you know, if you really looked at it from a purely ego point of view, a purely worldly point of view, if you weren't trying to wake up at all, you would probably think that my relationship with Laurent was like pure hell, and why the hell did you stay as long as you did? I mean, like, you know, and you'd say that if you were his friend, you'd say it to him. If you're my friend, you'd say it to me. Like, you know, either one of us, you'd think we were crazy for staying as long as we had. It was the most mismatched relationship in the world from the ego's point of view. And yet, if you talk to me or Laurent, what you will find in both of us is nothing but intense gratitude and love. Why is there such intense gratitude and love for the worst matched up relationship that ever happened? Because we did this. Because we saw the relationship as put in place to help us to awake, and we both accepted that completely. And we used it. And, you know, a lot of the, you know, the healing that happened because of that relationship. You know, that relationship easily saved 1,000 years. Easily. And we both know it. And so there's nothing but love and gratitude. Laurent played his role perfectly. He was the perfect mismatch for me. I played my role perfectly. I was the perfect mismatch for him. Like, you couldn't have put two people together better than we were put together to be so mismatched. And yet there's, you know, we get it. We both get it. There's love. There's gratitude. You know, we'll love each other forever. We've each gone on our own separate directions now. But that love, that, you know, that knowing what that relationship was about, you can't take that away. And what this is saying is if you can hold on to that attitude, you're going to feel that way about everything. It doesn't matter how hard the job is. It doesn't matter how, you know, annoying the person is. It doesn't matter, because every bit of it you're going to use to keep watching your mind, to keep finding what's in your mind that needs to be healed, what's in your mind that needs to be let go. And as you let go of these things, you're going to become more and more joyful, more and more peaceful, right? And you're just going to love every single event and person that helped achieve that.
And everything does.
Everything. So the only difference is how are you choosing to use what's happening in your life? Are you choosing to use what happens in your life to awaken? Or are you choosing to still believe it, struggle against it, fight it, say it should be different? Guess what? It's still happening either way. Right.
In your circumstance, Laurence, both of you knew that. But yeah. It also mentioned here the other might not know that that's what they're doing.
That's right.
As long as you know. And you can still be grateful even if they don't even know that.
Well, and I do have relationships in my life that have been just as intense where the other person wasn't joined with me in that way. My daughter is one. I've had a lot of intense learning with my daughter. There was a spiritual teacher, which they know about, which I had a lot of intense learning with. There was a stalker that I had a lot of intense learning with. I've had some intense learning with Ron, my current boyfriend, in the beginning. And now he's moving here. Who knows? Maybe I'm going to have some more. I guess we'll find out. But not every character in my life that's been a part of my healing was a conscious part. They weren't all I'm the one that had the attitude. I'm the one that always used the circumstance.
So do you, in those circumstances, enlighten the others? Or
no.
Just let it...
They don't even need to know.
Right, okay.
They don't even need to know.
They're benefited by it, though.
Yeah, they're benefited... Well, if you were to know Ron before and Ron now... Ron has changed so much. Ron used to be very jealous. He was the type that was so jealous that if I was polite to the waiter, you know, that bothered him because I smiled and was friendly to the waiter, you know. Now, I mean, I had Dave over to my house for Thanksgiving, you know. No way I would have been able to do that at another time. I mean, you know, at an earlier time. But as I let go, somehow Ron's jealousy fell away. Ron has become... You know, he probably used to, at some level, want to control me. That seems to be all gone. There's just, all these things fell away.
Because the same thing that's happening to us is happening to everyone else.
Well, and you got to remember the recycle thing. You take it and you send it out, right? Now, people don't always change. And this is where sometimes people, there's an error. I mean, I don't quite understand the formula, the freedom, the willingness. I mean, there's probably some complicated formula behind how all this works. What happens, as far as I can tell, one of three things happens if you let something go. One thing that may happen is the other person may literally change, right? That is one thing that happens. Another thing that may happen is the other person may disappear from your life. You know, because whatever was in you that was attracting that, you're no longer attracting it, they still want it. So they go find another relationship where they can get it, right? Because you aren't playing anymore. And then the third thing that happens is they may not change, they may not leave, you're just no longer bothered by it. Honestly. One of those three happens. It can't stay exactly the same if you practice the forgiveness. Either they change, they leave, or you're fine with them as they are. Either way, there's a win-win there, right? But if you're always looking for them to change, that's not going to work. Because then you're too caught up in the outcome. You have to just want peace. And how the peace comes about is none of your business. Right?
And you can't forgive them. You can't specify that I want you to leave, so I'm going to try to forgive you.
Yeah, so that you'll leave. Right, you can't be attached to the outcome. Whether your peace is they don't change at all, but you are able to be with them now, just like they are, that's still okay. It's your peace that you have to want. Yeah. The outcome is none of your business. Yeah.
Good stuff.
It is good stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you guys think we can handle chapter 26?
It's too long.
Are you tired?
It's too half.
Half of it. Okay, chapter 26. There is a reason for your role in the play and a reason to let the script continue. Now, he's talking here after you've achieved some level of awakening, right? As you play your part, remembering it is but a part, others will see the script in you. They will loosen their hold on the drama of the play as they begin to see beyond it through you. Through them, others will awaken until no one is left in the play. So every now and then somebody asks the question, well, if they're so awake, why are they still here? You know, why don't they leave? You know, lay down the body and leave. Well, this is saying that there's a reason why a certain amount of awakeness shows up in the world through people. That's needed to inspire people. Remember, I told you guys before we turned on the recording, when people ask me, well, where did you get your willingness? Where did you get your desire? The only answer I have is, well, there was this woman peace pilgrim, right? Well, what if there hadn't been this woman peace pilgrim that walked the earth for 15 or 20 years, somewhat enlightened? Then what? You know, so just as we have ego in the world, you know, but we also need light in the world. We need to somehow be able to see the light and recognize I can have that, I want that, you know, whatever that thought is that gets us started. So even as we become, you know, I don't know how you measure enlightenment, someone enlightened, fully enlightened, I really don't even know what any of that means, but obviously different from the average Joe on the street, right, in the way you react and perceive. Even as you become that obviously different, you are needed here. You're still needed as a housewife. You're still needed as a businessman. You're still, some of us become spiritual teachers, But all of these positions, all of these different roles, you're needed there so that others can see you. I used to have guests in my house all the time, and part of me wondered why the heck all these people came to stay with me, because I didn't do anything with them. You know, like some people are really the guru types, and like if you went and stayed with them, they'd spend the whole time like in guru relationship with you. But I'm not the guru type. I teach when I'm teaching, but in a daily average basis, I'm not a guru. So when people came to my house, I hung out with them. You know, they walked the dog with me, and you know, I took them to Royal Gorge, and you know what I mean? I didn't do anything. And they kept coming. So I started asking people, you know, at the end of their trip, well, what did you get out of being here? And they would always answer the same way, just watching how I reacted to everyday things. You know, that meant something to them. You know, if Jasmine was in a bad mood and they saw how I reacted to Jasmine, if, you know, just watching how I was in the everyday world, because the way I am in the everyday world is enough different already from the way the average person is in the everyday world. I react differently enough already that was helpful. And that's what this is saying. So, you know, lots of people get the idea that you need to be a spiritual teacher. Well, there are some of us who are called to that, and that's always going to happen. But you may also be, there's one enlightened guy in this world, I think his name is David Carson. He's supposedly enlightened. I really don't know any of this stuff for sure. But supposedly enlightened, right? David Carson, he's a carpenter. He's a carpenter, you know. Ellie Bruzdar is a mother and a housewife, right? I mean, you know, so there's all of these people that have all types of roles. Why? Just so they can be seen. Just so that the way they see, the way they react, the way they respond can be noticed.
I think it's also important, like you said about Peace Pilgrim, that you're able to see them in a very humble surroundings and whatnot, you know, that they're not like the Pope with
yeah.
a little bit of being a
well, and not only that, sometimes it's helpful to see these people in what we may call bad situations. You know, like, oh my God, that's the worst thing that could ever happen. But look how she reacted. Look how she accepted it. You know, Jesus talks about when he was crucified, he says that was just an extreme teaching example, right? I mean, if they can be arrested, be accused of blasphemy, be beaten, and be crucified and be fine, do I really need to get mad because, you know, you spilt tea on my carpet? You know? Right?
Puts it all in perspective.
Puts it all into perspective. So sometimes, you know, lots of people have this fantasy that when you become enlightened, everything's going to work out your way. That doesn't seem to be the case. They die of cancer, you know, they lose all of their possessions. But the difference is how they respond to it. And we need to see that too. We need to watch a guy die of sarcoma in complete peace and light to realize that the body isn't that important. There's something else. So that's what this chapter 26 is saying, is there's a reason that your story may continue to just unfold and just be a normal human story with tragedy and sickness and everything else that happens in any other human story. It's so everybody can see how you respond to it differently. That's important. Right? And if you're fully at peace, you actually don't even care anymore. When you're fully at peace, you don't need your story to go a certain way. Your response, your responding different, is coming from a very genuine place.
Yeah, when you don't believe in death, I mean really don't
really
believe
don't.
In death.
Right.
Then what the hell's going to
right.
rock and boat?
Right. In fact, I loved it when Ramana was dying and all of his devotees who were so devoted to that body, right? All of his devotees were crying and were sad, and they fully believed he could heal himself, and maybe he could, I don't know, but they wanted him to, and he, of course, made no effort to do so, and they just wanted him to stay, and he said a couple things to them. One of the things he said was, if he stayed another 100 years, then they'd want him to stay another 100. Then they want him, like there'd be no end to that. They'd never be satisfied. But another thing that he said is, where am I going to go? I'm not going anywhere. You know, because that was his honest perspective. He didn't see himself as dying. Right. So that's the end of chapter 25 and 26. So if we're ready for an assignment, we only have two chapters more, so we'll see what happens. We might finish this. But I would say that the best assignment is to do to whatever degree that you can, whenever it pops into your mind to do so, try to watch your life as if it is a movie or a play. And in fact, Ellie, is there Bruzdar?
Bruzdar?
Okay, Ellie Bruzdar, who Tom and I have recently discovered are both highly impressed with, aren't we? She seems to be about as enlightened as people seem to become, as far as I can tell. And that's exactly how she describes the world, is as a play. She says, it's just a play. It's just a play. So, you know, this isn't, I don't think, just a symbol, right? This isn't just a symbol. So if you can start learning to watch it like you would watch a movie, think of all the different kinds of movies you've watched, all the different drama and everything that happens, and how you were able to watch it, and try to watch your own life, your own circumstances, like you were watching a movie. And in fact, you don't want a movie to be boring where nothing ever happens. You'd walk out of that movie. So if some drama shows up in your life, watch it. Right? Don't wish it away. Watch it. So I'll stop the recorder now, and we'll have a little bit of silence.